Hi all, and welcome to episode 2 of the Orlando Addict podcast. I'm Baldfield. This episode is just going to be me on my own. Just a quick intro of me again. Telling people where I've stayed in Hotel Wise International Drive, going through the good, the bad, the really ugly. Also talking about Universal Studios, the years I've been, the rides, and telling you what I think of them. Disney and that will be involved in a later episode, so don't worry, that will be coming up. Now I hope you enjoy this episode.
Also, there may be swearing in this episode, so this may not be for young ears.
So let's quickly talk about some of the hotels I've stayed at on International Drive. Some cheap ones, some average ones, and this year I'm staying at Universal Endless Summer Resort, so that one could be very interesting. So the first hotel me and my family stayed at was the cheapest one yet, was the Crowne Plaza Resort. Very basic, very small pool as well. Near Walgreens, nearer Universal Studios. Obviously, this was our first time going to Orlando, so we were new, we didn't know much, we were learning. Would I stay there again? No. Not with family anyway, maybe with a friend for a couple of nights. It's a strange hotel, it had a funny smell and reception as well, so that kind of puts me off of it, really. The poolside, you know, just a basic pool, nothing special. But we've got sun all day, so you got a nice tan there. The pool always seemed warm. The problem I had with the hotel was, as I said, it didn't feel safe. So I would not recommend this to anybody with families or, you know, I just wouldn't recommend it, actually, truthfully. There's a reason why. One night, my family and me, we all went to Disney Hollywood Studios one day. I decided to stay late to watch the final of American Idol, because to me, back in the day, that was amazing. So I got back and the whole family was there, knocked on my door to get in because I didn't have the key on me. They said, "You can't believe what's happened." I went, "What's happened then?" They went, "Next door, the woman staying next door." I went, "What about her?" I go, "While we was out and we was getting back, the police were here with security. Basically, somebody had fucking knocked on her door. She didn't check." What's a stupid thing to do, by the way, anybody? So she's opened the door, they've barged in, you know, tried to steal stuff from her and that. I think they got a few things, but nothing happened to the lady, thank God. But, you know, that's kind of scary. It's very open, the hotel, very easy to get into from car parks and everything. So as I say, I wouldn't personally, if I was you, stay at the Crowne Plaza Resort. Unless maybe, you, as I said, weekend with a mate or something. But for me, I don't think I'd. I'd rather pay a bit more and stay somewhere safer, more secure, and better for you. Yeah, so moving on. The next hotel we stayed at was the old International Palms Resort, now known as the Avanti Palms Resort. This was a big family one. My brother with three of his kids and his girlfriend, my other brother on his own, me on my own, and my mum. Yeah, as we said, we stayed at the International Palms Resort. We knew something about loads of rooms what have just been redecorated, so we got into them rooms, what was nice, but been told a lot of the rooms were sticky and not good to stay in. In a whole, the hotel reception, massive and nice. The pool, big, very nice. Too cold. Turn the bloody heater on, you cheap bastards. This was November time we went to that one. Very nice hotel for size-wise where it is. Perfect location. Not far to walk to Universal. Not far from like McDonald's and all them things as well. So nice little hotel. I stayed there another time a few years ago on my own. And this was just before it was anyone knew it was going to get bought out by the Avanti Palms. And I actually said to my family and friends, this place is turning into the worst hotel I've been to. And I didn't want to shower there or anything. I found it disgusting. Then eventually the Avanti Palms have bought it. And I will get back to it because I've actually stayed there for a couple of nights as the Avanti Palms. But we're going through the hotels list by list, obviously. So when it was the International Palms, nice pool, nice game room, nice food area, nice bar. But as I said, the rooms, you could tell it was a really old made hotel. Personally, I would have knocked it down, put something brand new there, but I'm not a multi-billionaire, so I don't really have that choice. I would have stayed there again. I had no problem with it at the time. It was just when we stayed a few years later, it was a shithole. And, you know, I actually stayed there because I was testing it for WrestleMania in Orlando because we were going to book it. And if I remember right, my brother put a deposit down and I said, get rid of that deposit. We're going to stay somewhere else. So we didn't stay there after all. But the International Palms, Crowne Plaza, both of them. I'd just say spend a bit more money, everybody. You know, if you really need a budget, yes, as it is now, the Avante Palms, fine. But, you know, spend a bit more or look around a bit more on International Drive. There's miles better hotels. So across the road from the International Palms, though, just behind some shops hidden away, is the Ramada Plaza Resort. I've stayed there. They've got the old tower and the newer tower. I stayed in the newer tower in the club level suites. Now, listen to me, everybody. If you want rooftop access to the free bar, the smaller pool and jacuzzi with sun all day and fantastic views of International Drive, I recommend paying the extra for this hotel. You get an apartment club level suite, you know, two queen size beds, a nice bathroom, and then a front room with an L-shaped sofa bed. So, you know, the maximum of six people, maybe even seven, could stay in that room. You get a microwave oven, two hobs, mini fridge, safe and everything. As I said, nice hotel. And with a club level suite, you can go on the roof. Fantastic, the roof, never turn it down. If you're not interested in the roof, but you just want a suite, there is like superior suites and standard suites. You know, pretty much are exactly the same as club level suites, except it doesn't give you access to the roof. So if you want to save a bit of a budget, but you need a room like that, don't have a club level, go down to Superior or something. But look at the price difference and decide for yourself if the few extra is worth it. The only thing I don't like about this hotel lately, it seems to be a £200 deposit. What I don't agree with, I think it's stupid. Many hotels don't have deposits. And actually, while I'm thinking about it, it reminds me the Avante Palms, as it is now, the International Palms, resort fees. It's a thing in America, happens in some hotels, not all. So you could pay for the hotel and get out, and then they could ask for a resort fee. So when booking the Avante Palms, always check the resort fees in your price. That's a little pro tip for you. Back to the Ramada, though. It's got a nice bar downstairs as well, what stays open quite late at night. Friendly staff. Food court, meh. You know, a bit of cereal, a bit of fruit. Not really worth it. I think they could do a lot better with their food court. Downstairs pool, great lakeside view. But the problem with the downstairs pool, it gets very shaded halfway through the day because the way the hotel's been designed, so the sun can't hit it all day. So the Ramada Plaza, I've stayed there three or four times. Will I stay there again? Depending on price against Surfside Inn. We are Surfside Inn this year because it works out cheaper for a better hotel. So, but if Surfside Inn was more expensive, depending on price, I would go back to Ramada. Otherwise, the £200 deposit thing really does put me off. I don't agree with it, but you know, it's one of them things. All these hotels I've stayed at also as well, all have free Wi-Fi for your rooms and around the hotel, barring the Continental Plaza. Free Wi-Fi was in the reception only, and the rooms you didn't have it, so that was kind of sticky as well. Yeah, so the year we went to WrestleMania, me and my brother, we stayed for 2 weeks at the Rosen Inn International. It's more of a motel, because the rooms are outside, but I love this place. I've actually booked 7 nights to stay there again with a friend who's never been to Orlando, my mate Danny, for 2020. We got the room for 7 nights, bed and breakfast for £205 each. So that was a fantastic room. The Rosen Inn, as I said, standard rooms, two double beds, or queens, I should say. Nice flat screen TVs, fridge, mini freezer part on it, microwave, safe deposit, bathroom as per normal. Two pools at this hotel, standard pools, nothing special, but nice pools. This is a hotel I think is very English. It seems to attract all the English people there, so it's like a home away from home. Also, this hotel has a pub in it. So on a wet, rainy day, it's a great place. You know, if you don't want to go out and get wet, but you want to drink, go down to the pub. Usually has live music in as well. Pool table in there as well. Proper reminds me more of an English pub than anything else. Staff fantastic. You get to the bigger towers. If you get an international drive view, you can get some great photos, I think. I had a garden view just for, for peace and quiet. Massive, nice hotel. Just behind McDonald's on International Drive. And only about a 10, 15-minute walk to Walmart. I wouldn't walk back. Well, obviously, when you're shopping, get an Uber, a Lyft. Lyft tends to be cheaper in Uber, by the way. Exactly the same thing. So always keep an eye on that. Don't do taxis from Walmart. They con you. But yeah, the Rosalind, fantastic little hotel. I've booked it again. I would stay there anytime. It's a great price hotel as well. Yeah, so as I said, I stayed at the Avante Palms last year for a couple of nights just to see how it improved from the International Palms because it was bought out by the Avante. Rooms, they did a cheap do up, let's be truthful. Flat screen TVs, massive and nice Panasonic, brilliant TVs in the room though. Nice poolside bar outside reception looks out, is where they really spent money on reception. Yeah, again, I stayed in a poolside room. I didn't ha go into the tower. I've heard a lot of people not happy with the tower still. So maybe keep away from the tower, even though they are bigger rooms. But as people say, they're not as great. The poolside room, fantastic view, nice beds, two queen beds again, the old stuff, safes, fridges, microwaves, bathroom. They did have tumble dryers and washing machines downstairs. Obviously, you have to pay to use them. Pool, they did some work on it, made it bigger, made it so you could walk into the pool. Still bloody freezing, I thought. Got some little water fountain things for the children. Volleyball, but it was terrible at the time. I'm sure they need to do some work on the volleyball bit still. But poolside bar, brilliant. Lounge areas, brilliant. Sitting areas to eat food in that, also brilliant. This time I would say it's worth it. But yet again, as I said, they've put a resort fee on it, so may not be in the price you pay straight away. So always check for the resort fees. Free Wi-Fi, as I said. Yeah, staying there, right across the road from the Ramada Plaza. 10, 15 more minute walk from me to Universal Studios. I can't say for everyone else. Free Wi-Fi everywhere. About a 10-minute walk down to McDonald's. So just giving you an idea where it is. Nice little hotel right across the road. It's a nice big, a nice pizza place. You can buy pizza, or just a 5-minute walk down to Pizza Hut as well. So yes, if you want to stay there, by all means stay there. But just look for resort fees. Other than the resort fee, there's nothing really wrong for the hotel to me. Some people expect 5-star for 3-star for cheap prices, and they're living in a dream world. So they've got to stop thinking they can get these amazing hotels for these cheap prices. You want top end hotels, you pay for top end prices to stop being fucking idiots and moaning online. I'd say most of these hotels, look on TripAdvisor, look at reviews. My tip for hotels as well is not just do TripAdvisor, look on Google Photos for it, look at Google reviews. Also go on YouTube and look for up-to-date videos, and the more recent the better. People are doing hotels. For example, I've done the Rosen Inn, both Phil, Gatwick Lad, PDG, CFC 79 videos, whatever it's called these days on YouTube. I've got a Rosen Inn International Hotel video myself I've done a couple of years ago. If you'd like to have a look at it, it will help you with that hotel. So that's a tip for me. Look on YouTube for most recent videos and gives you more of an idea. Don't look for the hotel people, look for general people like us. The normal people just want to show off the room they're staying in. Gives you an idea what you're staying at. So that's the tip for the hotels. And obviously this year we're staying at Universal Endless Summer Resort, Surfside and Inn. Now I will be doing 360 videos of it and normal videos and photos, so please keep an eye out for that. But for me, I prefer staying in International Drive to definitely Disney, because Disney's too out of the way unless you're just doing a Disney holiday. Oh shit, before I forget, the Ramada Plaza does a free shuttle coach to Disney, and I think it's free for Universal as well. So they usually have the timetable at the front, loads of different times. I think Rose and Inn do a free one to Universal, I'm not sure about Disney. And yeah, if you're staying in International Drive, if you want to go see where that, you can get on the i trolley, the green bus. it's not expensive, and it'll take you straight to SeaWorld and back. So, you don't have to get Ubers or anything like that. You can find cheap ways of doing it. I think International Drive is brilliant, and I will go into International Drive more on another podcast. I just wanted to talk about a few of the hotels I stayed at. So, if we put it in order of hotels I prefer that I've stayed at, starting from worst hotel to best, and last, so worst hotel is obviously Continental. Then we would go the International Palms, then its newer form, Avante Palms, then to Rosen Inn, and then top of the pile is the Ramada, if you're in a club level suite. Also, as I say, the Ramada, the old tower, the rooms, I've heard, have had a refurb, but I know people in the past moaned about the old tower. So, as I said, if you need a bigger space to stay, but you want to stay in Tesla Drive, look into the Ramada Plaza and looking into the suites, club level if you want the roof. Just talking about hotel rooms haven't bored you to death. I've kind of bored myself with it, so I'll stop talking about them for now. And we'll move on to Universal Studios and the rides.
The Florida News Time.
So a bit of news about Walt Disney World hotels and the Magic Band. A Magic Band upgrade options are coming in. Walt Disney World will soon be adding more Magic Band options for Disney Resort hotels guests and renewing annual pass holders. Pretty good idea, I think. Hotel guests and pass holders will be able to upgrade their solid color Magic Bands for like 30 Magic Band upgrade options featuring Disney characters and designs at a discounted price. The new options will be available for pre-arrival purchases that are around $15 discounted off regular retail costs through the Disney Experience website. Obviously, at the hotels when you stay, you can not you don't have to do this upgrade. You can stay with the normal solid color ones, but if you feel like you want a better Magic Band, well, the option's there for you now. In other news, there's a new mini golf, Putting Edge Glow in the Dark Mini Golf. So if you're looking for something to do to keep you out of the sun or a rainy day, this could be fun. It's located inside former Octagon Marketplace, just down the street from Universal Studios, north end of International Drive. Not only can you enjoy 18 holes of putt-putt course, but it's a good small arcade with games like air hockey, claw machines, and some sort of Jurassic Park game. Not sure what that is. No real details on it. Just probably a normal arcade game. Maybe a little shoot 'em up, hopefully. You can also purchase snacks and non-alcoholic drinks in the main lobby area. Pricing for Putting Edge Glow in the Dark Mini Golf is for people 9 and up in age, $12.50. Children 8 and under are $10.50. Also interesting, with an adult paying price, children under 3 can play for free. So that can make it quite fun. As I say, something to do on a nice sunny day when it's too hot and you just need to be inside an aircon, or a rainy day when there's literally nothing you think you can do, but you don't want to stay in your hotel, your villa, etc. So that's a good choice. So let's get into talking about theme parks now. Anyway, the first year I went to Orlando, Universal Studios quickly became my favorite theme park of them all. The rides there at the time when I first went was Jimmy Neutron, Jaws, Twister, the Animal Actor set, Fear Factor was more of a stunt show, Rip Rocket roller coaster, Men in Black, Simpsons had just come on. The Horror Makeup Show, Woody Woodpecker Coaster, Revenge of the Mummy, Disaster, and Shrek 4D. Now I'm just going to go into them quickly individually. Jimmy Neutron, just pretty much a sit-down ride. The chairs, whatever compartment bit you in, was sort of moved with the screen in front of you, 3D. Interesting, more of a family thing, wasn't my cup of tea, but can understand why families would enjoy. Jaws was a fantastic ride when it worked. you was on the lake, everything brilliant. Heard it was more amazing at night time. Unfortunately, never got the chance to do that. Wish I did. Jaws, I miss you. If there was a way of bringing it back with better new technology, I'd have it back straight away. Twister, now, my family didn't like this, but I was always a fan of it because you went parts of the set of the movie. I thought was brilliant going through, like, you know, what a Twister be, and then seeing the stage when they would make a fake Twister out of wind and water looked fantastic, and the floor underneath you would move and everything. I just really enjoyed it. I'm not sure why other people didn't, but it was my sort of thing. Then if you want to chill out somewhere, the animal actors set, pretty much you just have pets and different types of animals coming out, all dressed up as different movies and doing stunts and generally just showing off. They seemed happy, so I wasn't really against this. Fear Factor. Now, this is strange. I only saw this about 2 years ago. I enjoyed the TV show, but I didn't really enjoy the set at Universal. Maybe because hardly anybody in the crowd, only about 3 people were doing the Fear Factor thing as well. So maybe the magic's gone from it now. Maybe it's time for it to go. Rip Rocket roller coaster. Fantastic roller coaster. What can we say about it? You get to choose certain types of music on there to listen to while you're riding it. It's fast. So many turns go up high. It's just a fantastic ride, I think. I prefer it in the dark, though. I think it's a better ride in the dark. You know, all the LED lights on it. You get to see all of Universal Studios, a bit of Islands of Adventure. So it's just a fantastic ride to be on. You could buy a recording as well, so you could see your face if you were scared or if you was enjoying yourself. So I thought that was quite cool. Men in Black. That's a shoot-up ride, so you'd be in your ride going around shooting at aliens trying to get the highest score. I love it. Feel like maybe just shut it down but not get rid of. My reason for this, I would love to see them update it, maybe with the new version of the film comes out, if it's any good obviously. Just give it a bit of TLC like they did with the Spider-Man ride a few years back, because it's a good fun ride. It just looks a bit dated. I enjoy it though and would hate to see it go. The Simpsons ride though, they could get rid of that. I wish they would do something, give Simpsons over to Disney, see if they can cut a deal for something like Family Guy. Hilarious. I think, you know, there's not much you really have to change in the Simpsons area either with Family Guy. You can change Moe's Bar into the Clam, you know, things like that. So you get Pawtucket Brewery beer instead of Duff. So it's not exactly really hard to change. So something, you know, I would look into if I was them. Another chill out place is the Horror Makeup Show. Just pretty much see a couple of people on the stage. It's funny when they deal with this horror stuff, showing you how they do the makeup, take you through the history of Universal, all the gore and that. I think it's a brilliant show. I've watched it every trip I've gone to Orlando. We'll be watching again this year. Woody Woodpecker, now, didn't go on that. My niece did at the time. She was very young, so it made sense. But, no, yeah, I understand why it's there for little children, but something I will never go on myself. Revenge of the Mummy. One of the best inside coasters ever. Hate calling it a coaster, though, because there's no proper up and down. It's just a little up and down, but I think for its speed, it's brilliant. Yet again, there's another ride maybe just needs a bit of TLC. And Go Again. Unfortunately, the new Mummy movie was a disaster, so they can't nick from that. But yeah, it just feels dated. But a very good ride. Now, you know, I can't explain how great I think it is. And then we've got Disaster Watts. Now, obviously gone as well. Been replaced by a disaster of a ride, may I add, Fast and Furious. That was good. You went through sections of like making movies, and then you'd get onto the tram ride where you'd be a part of a movie. Was, you know, I thought that was fun. Definitely better than Fast and Furious. Probably the worst ever ride I have seen in my life. But we will get to the more up-to-date rides in a bit. Shrek 4D. Pretty much, if you've got like a cinema now, 4D is kind of more normal. Shrek 4D just has the most horrible seats ever. But basically, you just watch a mini film of Shrek. I believe it's between movie 1 and 2, so it's very old again. You just sit there, the chairs move, wind in your face, water, because Universal loves their fucking water. 3D glasses on for the screen as well, but the 3D is sort of getting blurry to me, I personally think. Yet again, I think it should go full stop. I think they could put something a lot better there now. I'm not sure what I'd put there, but I think Shrek's time is up. Then you've got E.T. I love the woods bit. It's fantastic. The ride, though, it's so dated and boring. I know it's an original, and I know people who might listen to this love this ride, but it's just not for me. It's got to go. It's a lot of kids these days. You've got to think of the future generations as well. And let's say reboot E.T. There's no need for it anymore. People just, you know, we're going on there not knowing what's going on. They took a lot of elements out of it as well, like the sheriff holding a gun, putting a walkie-talkie. Doesn't make any sense for the part of the ride. And then you go into E.T. Drugland, as I call it, because clearly someone's took an E and made E.T.'s planet, and it's just fucked up. Probably ruins the whole ride, unfortunately. Terminator as well, back in the day. I loved that. You sat down, stage show, they came through the screen, you had moving parts around you and everything. The cast were brilliant. I'm afraid to say it's gone now. God knows what they put in there. It's been ages. You think they would tell us? Clearly another disaster idea they've had, what hasn't worked out, in my opinion, so they've held back again. They should have just kept it for a couple of years until they actually had an idea for it. It's a shame, because obviously Terminator's being sort of rebooted now, and maybe they could have just done a new Terminator. Would have been a lot easier. But yeah, that's pretty much rides and attractions I can think of off the top of my head. There's a few places to eat. Food generally in the parks, meh. There's not really much in Universal Studios eating wise. It's pretty much all the same sort of junk. Burgers, pizzas, fries, etc. Few places to drink. Finnegan's, I've never drank in there. Seems strange, but everyone raves about it, especially as a waiting area for Halloween Horror Nights. But I have drank in Moe's Bar and had a few Duff beers in my time. I don't know what the beer is, but it tastes fantastic, I think, Duff. And I love it. I have to have it all the time. I think it's a great little area, the Simpsons area, looking wise. But as I said, probably better to give back to Disney and just move something like Family Guy in there. I know Family Guy's Fox as well, but I think Family Guy's more catered for an adult audience, so I just don't think, you know, Disney would argue as much for that one. I think they'd rather have The Simpsons. I understand, I've heard a rumour that they're building Simpsons in Disneyland Paris, so it would be useful for them to have. So let's get into the more up-to-date rides now off the top of my head. Transformers. It's a lot like Spider-Man. I still prefer Spider-Man ride. Transformers is fun. The queuing line's fantastic. All right, there's a lot of buttons to touch, would do absolutely nothing. They should have, you know, thought of something for some of them. But the ride generally is a screen-based ride. What, you know, you move around in 3D glasses, you know, so it looks like Transformers coming out to you and everything. You're part of the story. It's, yeah, it's a fantastic little ride. Doesn't waste much time up. But I do it every holiday. I'm a big fan of the original Transformer cartoons. I think Michael Bay sort of lost his way with Transformers and destroyed them. But the ride, fantastic. Other rides I'm trying to think about off the top of my head is now Jimmy Fallon. Now, to the UK audience, you see little clips of him online, so you know what he's about. But pretty much such a strange idea for a ride about a late night chat host. Pretty much that's it. They apparently put the moon bit in there, the ride, as a joke. because people thought the ride was about going to the moon, because that's his sign for his show, Jimmy Fallon Late Night, whatever it's called, show. I can't think of anything else new. What's in there? Oh, how can I forget? Harry Potter and Diagon's Alley. Hands down, fantastic if you've seen the movies. Spot on. Looks brilliant in day, looks fantastic at night. Wow. I mean, brilliant. You've got the Gringotts ride, pretty much another ride, sort of in a car on a sort of roller coaster system. No loops, just one little dip, I think, in the ride. Screen based again, but really great ride. And the air, as I said, Diagon's Alley, it's amazing. Even the dark areas you go into. You can buy ice creams there and everything. It was specialised for more Harry Potter. English, like, breakfasts and that, what people find fantastic. Also, you can get on the Hogwarts Express if you have a park-to-park ticket. Basically, either way, it's a different story on the viewing screens, what look like meant to be windows, obviously. Absolutely fantastic. I can't fault Universal. They get things done, and unlike Disney, they build them in a good time period as well. Why Disney take forever? Universal seem to get it done in a year or so. They're just fantastic at everything, I think, Universal. Haven't watched the new Lake show. Heard it's better than the old one, but tend to not be really interested in that, if truth be told. So pretty much, as far as I can think, that's everything I can think of on Universal Studios. Next one we will be talking about is Islands of Adventure. So let's have a little bit of random chat. Let's talk about English Premier League first. So we've seen that Manchester City have won the title again, and Liverpool running very close. But as they always say, no one remembers second place on the long run, even though points wise, most seasons Liverpool would be league champions with that. It's unbelievable. But Man City are just a different gravy from everyone else, I think. My club Chelsea, we finished third. God knows how. We've been fucking shit this season, but we still finished third. So the only little bit of bragging rights we've got there is we are London's top club, and we've got Champions League football. We've got a Europa League final against Arsenal, and obviously Tottenham have got a Champions League final. So looking good for London clubs right now in that sense. Also, been watching John Wick 1 over the weekend. Loved the movie as per normal. Right now I've got John Wick 2 on again. I prefer number 1 still, but seeing the trailers for number 3, what's coming out soon, that looks fantastic, I think. And I can't wait to go and see it. So that's pretty much it. And hope to talk to everyone again soon. Yeah, hey all, just a quick extra add-on. I thought I'd give you my review on John Wick 3 when I saw it the day it came out. By far, one of the better John Wick out of the three. Obviously, it's only been three. I don't want to spoil the movie for people, so no spoilers in this. But miles better than number 2. Some great action scenes. The two dogs action scenes helping John Wick fight. Brilliant. Must watch. Obviously, I'm a dog lover, so to me, I was just obsessed by the dogs. As I said, better film. And then number two just bored me, truth be told. I just felt it was stagnant, you know. Number three, just to see John Wick on the run and then on the attack, on the run, on the attack, just fighting for his life. You know, brilliant movie. Twists and turns ever all over the place. And at the end, probably a good twist for a number 4, maybe. So, I recommend anyone go and see John Wick 3. Great movie. As I said, I can't really say much about it because I don't want to spoil the movie. Just if you like action and you're getting a bit bored of Marvel and superheroes, go and watch John Wick 3. Right, let's get to Islands of Adventure at Universal Studios Orlando. Not that far to walk from Universal Studios main park. Could be a 5-minute walk through City Walk, so nice and easy to get to. The first ride we're going to talk about is the Incredible Hulk coaster. Pretty much one of my favourite rides, one of my favourite coasters in the world, actually. It's pretty much the story behind it is step inside a high security research compound commanded by General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross. You bravely volunteered to be a test subject for a potentially life-altering science experiment based on Dr. Bruce Banister's research. In other words, they're trying to make you a Hulk. This ride's a roller coaster. It's a fast ride, not for the weak-hearted, people with bad backs, and pregnant people. It's a fast ride with speed, turns, and hoops. One of the best rides in the world, as I said, as a coaster. And yet again, it's brilliant daytime. It's out of this world at night time for me. It's my opinion on it. So I think everyone should try it. You can get great photos of it as well, actually, at night. And you get a really good photo with a massive Hulk standing outside. So that is the Incredible Hulk coaster. As I said, brilliant. The next one we're going to move on to is a bit of X-Men. And that ride is called Storm something. I remember off the top of my head, it's Stormbreaker, something like that. I wish I could remember it. It's a family ride. Storm Force Acceleration. It's like teapots, but just pretty fast than the normal average ones. Family friendly, but if you don't like spinning around really fast, this ride's not for you. Not much to really talk about it, so we'll move on. That reminds me, I hope the next Marvel series of films, the baddie is Doctor Doom. I think he could be brilliant from taking over Thanos. What moves us on to the Doctor Doom Fearful? Pretty much a ride, you sit down and you go up and down really fast. It doesn't last long, but you know, it's worth a little go, I think, just to get things done. Now, the next ride we're going on to is probably, I think, one of the best rides and ideas in the world. It's been around for donkey's years, and people haven't really made anything better in the way it's done. They've made copies of it, like Transformers, but they're not as good as The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man. This is an immersive ride when you sit in a inside in a moving cart, basically, what's made to look like a sort of car thing that you're meant to be a reporter. And it's 3D with screens. It's got props all over the place. So you feel like you're a part of a Marvel story with Spider-Man. And you feel like you're right in the action of it. It's an indoor ride. So pretty much, unless it's down for maintenance, this ride's always on. And it's family friendly again. And I recommend this to everyone. Spider-Man is just absolutely awesome. Now we move from the Marvel area, by the way, where you can get photos. Before I do move on, you can get photos in the Marvel area with Captain America, Wolverine, Storm, Spider-Man, and I think Rogue, what many people younger might not know who she is from X-Men, but they're the characters you can get photos with. As I said, moving on, we're moving on to Toon Lagoon area. Snorefest, knock it down, get rid of it, do something please. It's old, it's dated. Most of the cartoons I tested with my nieces last September, they haven't got a clue what they are. It's dated and needs to go. But the first ride is a nice water ride. Dudley Do Right Rip Falls. Now, as I said, it's another water ride. It's part roller coaster, part water ride, you know, with flumes and that. It really just combines classic cartoons with edge of your seat action, as I would say. You see all the sceneries of old cartoons and that all moving around you, and at the end a pretty big drop on the ride. You're in a log flume. You can get wet in this one, so if you don't like getting wet, this is not a ride for you. But actually, it's not the most wettest ride in this area. The actual wettest ride in this area is called, off the top of my head, it's something to do with Pluto, and I can't remember the name, what's typical of me. Pluto something. I can't remember it, but pretty much it soaks you really, really bad, and it's just not for me. I can't remember his name, Pluto something. Basically, you're on one of them circle dinghy things. You get soaked on this ride, it's horrible. In my opinion, unless you want to get absolutely soaked, but this is soaked too through every part of your clothing. Doesn't matter what you're wearing and how hot the weather is, you're going to get soaked. And if it's a cold day, it's my answer to that. I just wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. Moving on to a little thing what doesn't fit into the area it's at, apart from it's about a big gorilla, and we all know that, Kong. Skull Island, Reign of Kong. This is one of them rides you sit in a big sort of like safari bus, and it's 3D again, the screens around you either side. I actually enjoy this. A few people don't. I think it's brilliant. Either side of you, something's going on, so you don't see everything. You can go in this quite a lot of times and you'll see different details all the time. Also, the drivers are animatronics, so they're not real people driving it because it's on a track. But they have different stories they tell, so I think that makes it quite fun in a way. It's a nice little ride. But as I said, I'm not sure what Kong's meant to do between Toon Lagoon and Jurassic Park. Probably not the best design, because obviously Kong is meant to be a thing on his own, so it's just a strange place for it to be. As I said, we're moving on to Jurassic Park, and I can't say it, but it's Something Flies, P-T-E-R-A-N-O-D-O-N. Obviously, like flying for little children. An adult can only go on with a child. You're just pretty much going to like swing. It's like a swing coaster, I call it, to explain it. I'm actually going to read what it is to make it easier for you. So, parents with little adventurers will love this chance to take flight beneath a 10-foot wing of a old dinosaur, flying dinosaur, on a prehistoric flying reptile. They get an amazing view of all the theme park's excitement below as they slowly soar through the air in a comfy seat suspended with track above. While the seat does swing gently from side to side, there are no sudden or scary movements, making it perfect for younger guests not ready for big kid thrills. Oh, by the way, note this, guests over 56 inches tall must be accompanied by a rider meeting the 36 inch height requirement. So yeah, as I was saying, of course the main ride in Jurassic World, Jurassic Park area I should say, it's not Jurassic World, is off the top of my head, is Jurassic Park River Adventure. This ride's another fantastic water ride. You don't get super soaked on this one, but it's a fun little ride, I think. You know, this scenic water cruise starts out innocently enough, then you go into stuff's broken in, dinosaurs have got free, you're going the wrong way, so you're meant to be in danger. There's an 85 foot, I think, drop at the end into water. Depending on where you're sitting, you can get soaked or you can get a little bit wet. Little hint to this though, if you don't want to go on the ride, but you're feeling really hot and you want to go wet, right next to it, you can see people coming down this 80-foot thing. If you stand there, the water sprays out and soaks you. So that makes it a bit more fun for people. A nice little area, but I'm thinking I'd rather they get rid of Toon Lagoon and maybe make Jurassic World. Make it into a massive area. Give what would make it look wow. I know Kong's in the middle, but we can all just pretend Kong's on the same island if we have to. And then we're going to go move into the magical worlds of Harry Potter again, as you do. This is where the castle is on the bridge, many different angles. Fantastic photos with this. You know, it's massive. It's actually a ride inside it as well, so I recommend this to everyone. It's also a night show. I've never seen it yet. Plan to watch it this year, but it's like a projector screens onto the castle. I think it runs every 15 minutes, so you should get a chance to watch this. But obviously the ride in the castle is Harry Potter's Forbidden Journey. Yeah, again, it's screen based with props as well. You're sort of like sitting down pretending that you're in a long seating area, but you pretend that like you're on a broom. A lot of people get nausea from this ride. I've never have, but you know, it is a family ride, and it basically tells you a story of Harry and his friends flying through school trouble and all that stuff. Really good ride. I enjoy it and I love doing it. There's a roller coaster next to it, but I'm not a big fan of. It's small and rubbish. Flight of the Hippogriff. It's a kid's roller coaster, so maybe I'm being a bit harsh. It's no hoops in it, it's just turn and slightly fast. But yeah, it's a good ride for children if you want to introduce them to roller coasters. Side note, we've got a new ride coming very soon. Hagrid's Magical Creature Motorbike Adventure. Now, I'm going to read this again because it's not open, so it's really a hard one to talk about. So apparently it opens June the 13th. Sorry. It's a epic new edition coming for the Wizarding World, Harry Potter. For the first time ever, fly deep into the wild of the Forbidden Forest, beyond the grounds of Hogwarts Castle. As you twist past towering trees, magical creatures and wondrous surprises surround you. One misstep could drop you into the endless pit of Devil's Snare, or put you in the sights of Senator Bao. Anything can happen here. With Hagrid as your guide, an all-new adventure is taking off the board the magical motorbikes to fly far into the dark forest, hurl past impossible obstacles, and dodge fierce beasts that you've never seen before. All three willing coaster flight that will bring you close to some of the Wizarding World's rarest magical creatures. Also, the area, I know I'm meant to be talking just about rides, but the area is fantastically themed again. It's like the one in Universal Studios. Oh, it's beautiful. I think it looks, yeah, again, I think it's one of them areas. It looks good in daytime because they've got that snow on the roof, but for some reason at night, I think the magic really happens with all the lights and that, because it's light there, but it's kind of dark, so you feel like you're in England. It's fantastic, and I will never tell anybody bad things about it. I'm trying to think, obviously, yet again, the Hogwarts Express, if you've got a park-to-park ticket, you can get on the train either side. As I said, the story's different both ways. So if you're coming over from Islands of Adventure, or if you're coming over from Universal Studios. But it's a nice way, I think, to go over to the the parks without walking. We move on to more of a mythical area time. I'm going to speed through this. Poseidon's Fury is a walking thing. Loads, you have a guide, loads of stuff. It's meant to be about Poseidon himself. It's old. It's always open, but no one really goes into it. You know, I don't think, it's either people don't like it or they just don't know about it. I'm not too sure, but I don't really want to give anything away about it because I want people to try it. And then if you get back to me, or if you have tried it, as I said, email me and tell me what you think. The email will be in the show notes, and it should be also said at the end of the podcast. Then we move into the Zeus Land, and this is the family area. There's a lot of family rides here for little children and that. So this is the area for the children. You've got the High in the Sky Zeus Trolley Train Ride. It takes you through buildings and, you know, tells you little stories, I think. Yeah, there's two tracks to this ride. One continues the story of Snitches, while the other one takes you through the ABC of your other favourite Zeus stories. You might even get to ride inside Circus McGillicuddy Stu Penendus, where you can wave at everybody below who's eating food. I always wave back up, you know, especially for the children. Always seems to make them smile and laugh. So yeah, very nice themed area for children as well. Next one I can think of is the carousel. Bit like a normal carousel, you know, with what we'd normally have, like ponies and things like that. So this is like, obviously, you sit on characters from Zeus Landing ride. So nice and easy, calm and slow, and children enjoy. Yes, then we move on to a classic, Cat in the Hat. So you can climb into a couch car and ride through the book. Who hasn't wished they could disappear into Dr. Zeus stories, eh? Now you can. Grab a seat and swerve away through one of Dr. Zeus's most beloved classic. Each scene has been vividly recreated, a colourful character and crazy emotions you twist from room to room. While the mischief mounts inside the house, the Cat in the Hat, the thing, the one and thing to make quite a mess. So yeah, that's a quite a fun ride, I think. And yeah, again, family friendly, and children will enjoy the storytelling in it. Yeah, so in Zeus Land in there, I haven't done most of this ride, so I am reading off the sheets about it. So the last one there is steer, spin and swoop in a silly loop on one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. Climb inside your very own Dr. Zeus flying fish. It's equipped with easy to use controls and let you maneuver up, up, up and down and down and down as you gently glide around an array of fountains. But these aren't just any fountains, they are Zeus Landing after all. They squirt water in time of the music rhymes. Make sure you pay attention to the words. Do what they say or you might just get wet. So yeah, that's Dr. Zeus area. Yeah, again, I think you meet characters in there sometimes. I don't really see them though. Maybe it's just the time of year I go. But yeah, it's a nice themed area again. Children enjoy it. It's nice and relaxed. It's not over busy in there either. Pretty much that's just the roller coasters and that. I would have talked about food, but I don't eat inside the park. So I hear Mythos is a great restaurant for everyone to go to, but I just don't eat inside theme parks. I don't see the point to it. If I really want to eat, I'd rather go and eat somewhere outside the parks and eat properly. If I'm going to eat in this theme parks, I just grab a quick burger, a quick drink, and I'm off again. I want to be in the parks to do the rides and the shows, things like that. So it's easier to move on. So yeah, my opinion on Islands of Adventure, some great rides, some great areas in there. Get rid of Toon Lagoon, make it Jurassic World. Marvel, I wish they would give it back to Disney. It's not going to happen. It's a shame because I think Disney would do a better job with it. It's old Marvel, like we're talking 90s comics, cartoons, Marvel. So many kids may not see it the same as we do. They were meant to be DC years ago, but the contract failed and it all fell through. What's a shame. I wish I could get back to DC, maybe change it up. You can keep some of the rides. Hulk, Green Lantern, if you wanted it to be Green Lantern, or just change the colour of it red, make it the Flash. Spider-Man, you got to do the story again, obviously, but Batman, brilliant. Maybe even put a new ride in somewhere, get rid of the Storm teacups, as I call them, and Doctor Doom's fearful, and have a Superman type of ride. I'm not sure what you could do for Superman, but let's face it, you've got to have Superman, Batman, Flash or Green Lantern, or either not just a Superman ride, maybe you can make it the Justice League. So I wish I would look into that. I know it failed before, but there's no reason they can't come back to the table and talk about it and just give everyone what they want. Jurassic World, it's theirs. So many good ideas they could have for rides. Build it out. Bye bye Toon Lagoon. You're old, you're boring, and you wouldn't be missed. I've been waffling for almost 20 minutes now about Islands of Adventure, so I'm going to stop talking about them right here. Well, everybody, that's it for episode 2. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm hoping episode 3 I have a guest again. I have a few people I've got set up for future shows. I've just got to sort out dates and times. They can be free. Anyway, as I said, I hope you've enjoyed this episode and hope to get episode 3 out for you in a couple of weeks. Balls feel out. Yeah, hi, all. Just me quickly talking myself, Ball Phil here. Just random talk. If I'm sounding a bit stupid the way I talk right now, or robotic, just give me time. I'm getting used to doing this. I'm trying to figure out how I want the podcast to still work. Hopefully soon it'll be like I'm talking to friends even when I'm on my own. Obviously when you do an episode on your own, it's a lot harder. You try to find things to talk about and you tend to think it goes really quick. So, you know, just get in there. And hopefully a few more episodes in, I reckon I can get good at this. So please stay with me. And if you could tell your friends or family about it, please. Please get them to listen as well. I need listeners and I want this to work. Thank you very much for listening to me. Cheers for listening to the Orlando Addict podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to it and leave a comment. Also, I have an Instagram page, The Orlando Addict, if you'd like to follow me on there. Plus, if you'd like to ask me any questions, I've just opened a Gmail account. It's baldphil@gmail.com. That's baldphil. phill@gmail.com. See you soon. Son of a whore!